Now, I've been talking about the covenants that God has made with his people, that is, with the nation Israel. And there have been five of those covenants. The first one and the most important one to a great many people is the covenant God made with Abraham. And I'd have to concur in that, of course. The Palestinian covenant is the second one. And then the covenant given through Moses, that is the one conditional covenant. All the others are unconditional. It does not rest upon any weakness of man at all. It rests upon an almighty and eternal God. And therefore, the covenants are as great as he is, because it's his word. But the one given through Moses was the law, and it was a conditional one. If ye will do, God says. Now, we come today to the covenant God made with David. We have one more, and that'll be the new covenant, and that's to be made in the future, but it's given in prophecy, and we'll be looking at it. Now, that covenant is found in the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel. David had now ascended to the throne, and he has been given great victories. Jerusalem now is his capital. David loved Jerusalem. I suppose it was a better-looking place then than it is today, an Arab city, actually, the old Jerusalem. And it's not very attractive to me, but David loved this city. And we begin at chapter 7, and I'd like to begin reading, because this is, to me, one of the great chapters of the Bible. It came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. And I think that it was a rainy night when this took place. And David sat there in the palace. He's the king now. And he thinks of the little ark that he's brought up and the tent down there that it's in. And that represents God. That's where they meet God. God meets them. And David thinks how out of context it is for him to be living in a palace when the one who put him in the palace and made him king is down there. Now, will you notice what happens? That the king said unto Nathan the prophet. He's talking to Nathan, you know. They're having a little chat in the evening after dinner. And he says, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." Just a palace and a tent. What a contrast, if you please. And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that's in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Well, here's a time when a prophet was wrong. He told David to go ahead and do what was in his heart. But he's wrong. He's not saying what God wants him to say, and God will correct him, by the way. But I don't blame Nathan. If somebody came to me and said, "Dr. McGee, I think that I would like to underwrite all your foreign broadcasts and these others that you want to start, I'd like to underwrite them." I don't think I would say, "Well, brother, I'll have to go pray about this and find out whether I should take it or not." I think I would take it and then go pray and thank the Lord for it. So I don't blame Nathan at all. But it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord." Now you're going to get it from headquarters. "Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in?" Do you want to really build me a house? Well, God says, we'll have to see about that. He says, "Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle," and God has never complained, by the way. He identified himself with his people, and that is still true today. God identifies himself with you. Are you in sorrow today? He's identified himself with you. He went with you to the funeral. When you go to the hospital, he went with you. Of course, it's through the Holy Spirit that these things are made real to us. But let me go on. He says, whereas I have not dwelt in any house. Now he says, in all places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? God never asked them to do this. David is doing something above what God asks him to do. That's the reason I think most Christians ought to be giving more than a tenth to the Lord. God asked Israel for a tenth. You're under grace. And actually, I believe under grace we ought to give more. Now, will you notice? Now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. All the way David has come from a shepherd boy to king over Israel. Now we come today back to that covenant God made with David. And it's such a wonderful passage. I spent a little time with it last time, and we'll pick up right there today. It's over in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, at verse 8. And this is where a prophet was wrong, and he's going to have to go back and correct himself, because he told David to go ahead and build a house to God. God said, no, wait a minute, I got another message for David, and here's part of it. Now he says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. My, all the way from out with the sheep on the hillside to a throne in the palace in Jerusalem is a long ways for any man to go. But David has made the trip. And he says now to David, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. And you notice God takes credit for doing all of this. And we today, many of us Christians, take credit for what we do. Frankly, if anything is done for God, and let me make it personal, anything that McGee does in the flesh, God hates it and he doesn't want it. It's only what the Holy Spirit can do through an individual, and God will get credit for that. Now let me read on. He says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I'll plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. That time has not come, but God has made that promise to these people, and he'll certainly keep it. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he'll make thee an house. Isn't that just like the Lord? David says, I want to build God a house. Now God says, no, I'm not going to let you build a house because he's a bloody man. His hands are bloody. But he says, I'm going to build you a house. Just like the Lord, isn't it? You can't outdo him in giving. And verse 12, and he says, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, David is not the man. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That was Solomon. Now he says, I'll be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of man and with the stripes of the children of men. And that reaches on down to the line of David, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can it refer to him when it says, if he commit iniquity? Well, the scripture says he was made sin for us who knew no sin. He did not commit iniquity, but I did. And that was made over to him. And so God punished him. I'll chasten him with the rod of man and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, I'll not go any farther than that, but that is an unconditional promise that God made to David, that in his line there would come one, and that that kingdom will be established forever. And do you know that became the theme song of all these prophets? That's the reason all of them that we've been looking at have been talking about the kingdom that's coming. What kingdom are they talking about? This one that God vouchsafed to David. This is the thing that the prophets are constantly talking about. And the New Testament opens on that note. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, tying these two great covenants together, and the Lord Jesus has come to fulfill that. And may I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the very theme of prophecy. It all centers about him. He is the subject of prophecy, and there'd be no prophecy without him. That's so important for us to see here, and that's the kingdom that we're talking about, and that is the Davidic covenant that God made. An eternal kingdom is vouchsafed to these people, and that was never fulfilled in the church, never intended to be. I want to conclude the messages I've been giving, preliminary messages, on the covenants. And I've been giving these messages on the covenants that you might better understand prophecy and better understand how to divide the Word of God. We have had now four of the covenants, and the last one we took was the Davidic covenant. And we saw that the Davidic covenant God made with David and promised him a throne. I did not go on to get David's reaction to it, which was a tremendous reaction. It humbled this man. But I do want to turn to 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, verse 5, and get David's reaction to it later on in his life when he became an old man. I'm reading now. Although my house be not so with God, it's David speaking now, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is my salvation. And all my desire, although he make it not to grow. In other words, he did not fulfill it in David's time at all. Now, the psalmist has something, by the way, to say in this connection, and that was one of David's psalms in Psalm 89. David said, and it's God speaking to him now, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. So this was a covenant that God made with David, and this became the theme song of all of the prophets, by the way. And the New Testament opens with the angel appearing to Mary. And Dr. Luke records this, and that's quite interesting because Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom. And will you notice in Luke, the first chapter, at verse 30, we read, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So we see the fulfillment of that in the coming of Christ into the world, and he's yet to come the second time, and when he does, why, he will establish that kingdom here upon the earth. Now we come to the new covenant, and the new covenant is the covenant that Jeremiah records, And it's over in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 31. Now, it's called a new covenant because that's what God calls it. Will you listen to this? "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke it, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, this covenant is to succeed the Mosaic covenant, which was temporary to begin with, and it was a covenant that was not an unconditional covenant. It was conditioned on their obedience and faithfulness to God. And it is, "if ye will." It's not "what I will," but "if ye will." Now God says, "I will." This is a covenant that he has not yet made with Israel. He will make this covenant with them in the future. And that, of course, is for the millennial kingdom. And we hear so much today about the physical parts of the millennium. Well, the spiritual part is the most important part. And one of the great spiritual parts of the kingdom is these people are to be converted and born from above, if you please. You see, when God gave them the law before, they were to write it on the doorposts of their house. They were to write it everywhere. They were to talk about it when they went to bed. But it wasn't in their hearts. And that today is one of the problems the church is having, is that everything is outward today, physical, material, humanistic. And the real Christianity is of the heart. It's within, by the way. Born of water and the blood, individuals. And so here we have this new covenant that God is making with the children of Israel. Now, this new covenant, and this is probably the only covenant that there's any disagreement about at all. And there are those that feel like this is the new covenant God made with us in the church. And that's not true at all. There in the upper room, he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." That's the covenant for you and me today when the Holy Spirit has come to regenerate us and to indwell us and to fill us and to baptize us into the body of believers. And that is the great ministry of today, and it's altogether different. You have a statement made in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse 6. It says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Now, that's the covenant that he's made with us today. This is the age of grace in which we're living, which is altogether different from the age of law, which is ended. Now, the day is coming when Israel enters the millennium. They are to have this new covenant that God will make with them. And the important thing is he renews them, he regenerates them, he puts the law within their hearts and an ability, therefore, to obey. So in all these covenants that we've looked at, God has a program. He has a game plan, if you please, for this world. And as far as I can tell, God is running on schedule. And that's what the prayer means when the Lord told them to pray, "Thy kingdom come." It is this kingdom here. And the kingdom is the reign of the heaven over the earth. And that's what the kingdom of heaven means in Matthew. And it doesn't mean anything else. The reign of the heaven over the earth. Now, for us today, he has given us marvelous, glorious position, and that is in the body of believers called the church. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you will enable us to be able to divide the Word of God and to understand thy great plan of the ages, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.